This is Mark Dunley with WOOC, reporting from the Second Women's March in Albany on January 20th at the State Capitol. Several thousand people attended. Up first, we hear from one of the co-organizers, Christina Charles, doing the introduction.
From the unprecedented number of women who chose to say, yes, we can, by boldly running for office and winning, from the Black, Latino, transgender, queer women who chose to say, yes, we can, by boldly running for office and winning, from the Black women in Alabama who no one saw coming, that's the secret in Alabama, to the J20 activists who are facing the full brunt of this administration's tyranny, all of us together, we stand here proudly as women, men, LGBTQIA of all races, ethnicities, religions, and backgrounds. We stand here to say proudly and loudly and boldly to Donald Trump and the Republicans that yes, we still can. And come November, we will usher in the biggest blue tsunami this country has ever seen. Thank you very much.
Mayor Kathy Sheehan. City of the great state of New York, I welcome everyone here, men and women, young and old, you are welcome, recent immigrants and immigrants of old, for if we are not Native Americans, who I also welcome here, we are all immigrants, so welcome. Straight, bisexual, transgendered, welcome! Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, agnostic, atheist, whatever your beliefs, welcome! Rich and poor, middle class, people of all abilities, welcome to the great capital city! It is an honor and a privilege to host this amazing march.
Next is some music from Annie and the Hedonists.
Against injustice.
Everybody!
Fight against injustice.
Fight
against injustice. Never turning back. Never turning back.
We're gonna reach out.
We hear now from Beth Rothstein and George Castangia about the J20 case.
My name is Betty Rothstein. I'm here at Defend J20 Resistance. For those who don't know about the J20 case, on January 20th, 2017, over 200 people were mass arrested in the streets of Washington, D.C., while protesting the presidential inauguration of Donald Trump. Everyone arrested had been charged with multiple felonies and faced decades in prison.
April of last year, the government indicted everyone with 7 more felonies and faced them with up to 70 years in prison.
Wow.
The remaining defendants are charged with 6 felonies and 2 misdemeanors. The reason for this is because 2 out of 8 of all of the felonies they try to put on everyone don't even exist. There isn't a felony statute for them. This aggressive charging speaks to the intimidation that the Trump administration is trying to instill into those engaged in resistance.
In December, we saw the conclusion of the first round of jury trials, in which all 6 defendants were found not guilty on every count.
Donna Young from Albany Law School speaks about her experiences.
Crazy Rodriguez, I was almost a dreamer. Today is my 31st birthday, and my mother and my father came here from Argentina 32 years ago. The same month she came here, she found out she was pregnant with me. So 9 months later, I was here. And that is why I say I was almost a dreamer, because by birth I am a naturalized citizen. And I had the advantages and opportunities to get a law degree on my own without the assistance of parents helping me with FAFSA applications, without the assistance of anybody getting me through a UConn degree or a University of Massachusetts law degree. I migrated myself independently from Connecticut to Massachusetts Fall River to pursue my dreams. Then I went on to pursue different opportunities in Amsterdam, New York. See, my story here is that we are all migrants. I never thought I'd be an immigration attorney by practice or by passion. As a five-year-old, I was translating for my parents, for my friends and my parents, and naturally I became an advocate for the Spanish community, Latino community, which, by the way, Latinas, are you out there? We have a special, unique situation where we're bilingual, and sometimes we're a little bit afraid to ask questions. So as a five-year-old, through 18, through I left my parents' house, I got a lot of great training on how to ask questions. I'll tell you that much. So dreamers, are you out there? Dreamers, I hold very dearly in my heart, because I am old enough, or young enough, I should say, to be a dreamer. I would qualify for the dreamer application had I not been born 9 months after my parents arrived here. So it's very important to think about, who do you have in your classroom as teachers? What families and co-workers are you working with? What are their children going through? The past 6 years, I have been an immigration attorney in upstate New York, but I've had callers from Connecticut, Massachusetts, Florida, Texas, California, finding me on Google, finding me on Facebook, calling me for assistance by phone, and I have been thrilled.
We hear from Barbara Letty, a longtime director for legislative policy for the New York State League of Women Voters.
Many of us who have worked around and in government for many, many years, we knew a year ago that this was going to be an absolutely incompetent person to head our wonderful democracy. And guess what, everyone? Last night, he shut down the government. He thinks so little about how government works that he doesn't have any problem saying, we don't need government, you only need me. Well, he's wrong. Yeah. Government works, and the people that work in government, whether they're at the state, the county, the local, whether you're your school board, government works, but it only works when we get very, very involved. Right now, we have a president who is willing to pack the courts so that for decades to come, so your grandchildren and my grandchildren are going to live under judges who don't think women's rights or LGBT rights or any of environmental rights, they are going to do more damage in the next 30 years than we can possibly imagine. And there is a way to stop it, but it's only if we get extraordinarily involved.
Next, we hear from Judith Ank, former regional administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency.
In Congress are dismantling the EPA. They're promoting offshore oil drilling and fracking. Yeah. And they've already pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. But we are fighting back, all of us. And the way we respond to pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord is by installing wind turbines and solar panels. We fight back one solar panel at a time. And while we are thinking globally, we have to fight locally. Just a few blocks from here, over in Arbor Hill, the state of New York operated a polluting facility, the Answers Incinerator, for more than 13 years. until Governor Mario Cuomo was finally forced to say enough is enough and shut down the Answers trash incinerator. Now Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to build two new gas plants at the very same location. And the governor wants to burn fracked gas from Pennsylvania. Governor Cuomo, to his credit, has called for divestment from fossil fuels, but he put $88 million in the state budget for the New York Power Authority to burn fracked gas in Arbor Hill. That does not sound like divestment to me. Here's what we know. Extreme weather is increasing, the burning of fossil fuel is heating our planet, and clean, renewable energy can create millions of needed new jobs. So those of us who care about a clean environment need to take political action. Have you volunteered on a political campaign? Now go get 10 others. And my final point, guitar player, is that the environmental movement is built on the shoulders of strong women. Women who work hard and get things done. Women like Rachel Lois Gibbs, and effective local women like Regine Adams, Darcy Appliers, Vivian Cornegay, Laura Height, Ann Rabe, Liz Moran, and Kathy Dawson of Hoosick Falls. These women are environmental legends. I've spoken at many rallies and have always wanted to quote the American frontierswoman Calamity Jane. Calamity Jane said, if a girl wants to be a legend, she should just go ahead and be one.
Up next is Assemblywoman Pat Fahey.
Thank you, and thank you for being here. It shows how much you care. You're actually standing in my assembly district, and I couldn't be more proud to have you here today. And I'm also honored to be joined by a couple of my other colleagues in the assembly and in the state senate, and they stand on the shoulders of so many of you here. And we stand on the shoulders of so many women in particular who have worked so hard to get us here, but we know more hard work is needed. We have to maintain this momentum. It's not just about showing up here today, it's standing up, it's speaking up, and it's bouncing back. Bouncing back when we have our setbacks. We cannot change the president tomorrow, unfortunately. But we need to practice trickle-up change. Trickle-up change. Because trickle-up change, because we need to counter the president's trickle-down economics. Where he is crushing our spirits, hurting our working class and middle class, fueling our economic divide of have and have-nots, and obviously harming the environment. But don't get mad, please get active beyond today.